Goeiemôre. Dis die laaste. Those will be the last Afrikaans words that you'll hear today. Okay. Can we just pray? Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will grant to each one of us, and corporately today, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that you will come and that you will flood the eyes of our understanding with light, that we might know the hope of your calling, so that we may come to know and understand the incredible rich inheritance that you have deposited in each and every one of us. That we will come to know the power that works in us and for us, for those who believe. The same power that you executed when you raised Christ from the dead and seated him on high to be the head of the church. Father, I pray that this morning that you will be acknowledged, your love will be felt, your grace will be imparted, and Holy Spirit, we want to acknowledge you. Come and speak. Let the church hear. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, this is my prayer for each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Neil, thank you for the privilege and the honor and the words But I would rather that Jesus would take center stage this morning, that he would be seen. If I can disappear and he can be somehow seen, then it will be mission accomplished for me. Incredible privilege for us to minister to us this morning. I don't know, Wendy, Wendy's actually more well known in town than I am. So Wendy, if you just come in. This is my helper. Those of you that know her, that know that she's a wonderful woman of God. I suppose the Lord thought, man, this man needs a lot of help. So he gave me an excellent helper. And we just want to acknowledge that what we walked into is simply because we have stood on the shoulders of other great men and women that have gone before us in this valley. We have simply tried to be obedient as far as we can, made more mistakes than we thought we would, and learn to partake and receive the forgiveness of God in great, great measures. So we stand before you as not higher than anybody. We are simply fellow servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as you are. Amen. Amen. I hope that you have come this morning to change. I know it's a word that many people don't like, but it is the only way that we're going to become more like Jesus. The only way that we're going to become more like Jesus is if we change. That's our predestination, to be conformed to the very image of the Son, Jesus Christ. We are to find him in losing ourselves for the sake of the gospel. That's what the Word of God says. As long as we try to preserve and find who we are slowly but surely losing our life. But if we lose our life for the sake of him and for the sake of the kingdom, we will truly find it. And in my short walk with the Lord, I know this one thing that I have not attained. I don't stand here before you as a man that has achieved, as a man that have attained everything that I will preach about. I've heard a guy says one that he will never preach something that he hasn't overcome. completely, then I'm saying, well, shut up and sit down. Paul said himself, he said that he has not attained, but he has this one thing that he does. He lets go of what's behind and he stretches forward to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us, him for. And that is my heart this morning, that we would not forget where we've come from, that we would not forget our histories, that we will not forget the church groupings that we are from or the church that we are from, but that we will not place that before us stretching forward to what God wants in this valley and for His kingdom in all the earth. I'm going to try and stick to my notes. I've tried that a couple of times. It usually works, and then later it doesn't work. So if you guys can just give me a clue when I should stop. Somewhere in this preach, there's going to be something about revival. Not because of anything else. It is something that God has placed in my heart. And it's something, if God has marked you for revival, it's not something that you can walk away from in any way. And you can't stop until you've seen it. Or at least die trying to pray that you will see it. And I want to speak about breakthrough this morning. And but first of all, I want us to understand that everything that is being said this morning is against the backdrop of love. God is love. Even when God corrects us, even when God shapes us, even when we go through trials and tribulations of which Jesus promised us that there will be those, we must remember that it's always God's heart. God loves us. Just turn to the person next to you and say to him, God loves you. Don't tell them, I don't know why, but God does. God really, really, really loves us. You know, growing up in an Afrikaans home, you know, we grew up with a very Calvinistic work ethic, and you should feel bad most of the time. You're not good enough half the time, and the other time, you're definitely not good enough. And whenever God speaks to us, we walk out with a measure of guilt that, I'm not good enough. I didn't pray enough. I didn't read my Bible good enough. I haven't got enough of the Holy Spirit. I'm just not good enough. I want to encourage you this morning that if God speaks anything like that, it's a call upward. It's a call upward. God is simply calling us to more. The only reason why God tells us that we have maybe sinned and missed the mark is that He wants to bring us back to the mark, and He wants to say to us, it doesn't matter how long you've served the Lord, how short you've served the Lord, how much of the Spirit you have, how much experience you have, and how many gifts you flow, God says there's more. God says there's more. So this is not for the backslider. The revival is not for the backslider. Revival is not just for the unbelievers. Revival is for every one of us. I believe that the church falls into two areas of error. That on the one hand, we think that when we speak about revival, that God's got to do everything and we must do nothing. We can just sit back and wait for the river to come. We can just sit back and wait for the fire to fall and to see that flooding. And we, most of us and many of us are happy with that, to wait. And now and again pray a prayer that points in that direction, that God, won't you just send revival so that I don't really have to do anything. And on the other hand, I think there are people that think that God has already done everything. And He's now waiting for us. He's already given us everything, and yes, He's given us access to everything, but I would say to you this morning that if we already have everything in our possession, then this world is waiting for us. But I believe that God has given us access to everything through His Son, Jesus Christ. So there is a responsibility from our side to ask and to keep on asking. And to say, God, if You're not going to come, we're going to do what we can. We're going to do the ministry that You've called us to. We're going to do the project that we've been called to. But God, we know in our heart of hearts that it's not going to happen unless You come and You pour out Your Spirit in revival. Now many people have many ideas about revival, and some of the acts of revival scares the heebie-jeebies out of some of you, and you've seen some footage on YouTube, and not all of it has been helpful. But I found that God somehow by His Spirit always hovers over chaos. And sometimes we want every so boxed in and everything, all our T's crossed and all our I's dotted, that we do not allow God to come. We want God to come in the way that we want God to come. But I believe with all of my heart that there is a responsibility. And just like in the days of Noah and the flood, it said that it wasn't only the rain from heaven, but it was always also the fountains from the deep that erupted. And I believe simultaneously that there is something inside of us that needs to be released. There is a river of living water, streams of living water that is inside of us. And Jesus said, He said on the last day of the feast, He says, come everybody who's thirsty, come and drink. And He says, if for those who believe, He says, from your innermost being will flow streams of living water. So I believe that there are streams of living water in every single one of us. Streams of living water. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you might not feel the stream. You might not recognize the stream. You might not even know what the stream is. But there is a stream. There is a fountain of living water that needs to come out, that needs to start the flood. The Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? Put your hand on your chest. You know, sometimes when we speak about the Holy Spirit, we speak as if He's far away. We speak as if He is somewhere in some other person, but not in me. If the same Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken our mortal bodies. A quickening of our mortal bodies. A quickening of our mortal bodies. And this morning I want to speak about the God that breaks through. About Baal Perazim. God, the God that breaks through. And it's the God that breaks through from heaven. But I believe in the new covenant it is also the God that breaks through from within. You know, when Paul prays for the Ephesian believers, he says, he praises what I prayed now, that inside of every single one of you, there is incredible riches, godly treasures that He has deposited in every single one of you. He has not deposited it only in the guys up front that speak, the preachers, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. No, He has placed it in every single believer. There is treasure inside of you. There is godly treasure inside of you. There is the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, the very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. And the world is waiting for an expression. The world is waiting for greater expressions. I'm sure that you are expressing the love of Christ. I'm sure that you are flowing in the power and the glory of God. But I want to say to you, the world needs more. And if the world needs more, then I need more of God. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of the love of God. And the love of God is only, in Romans it says that the love of God, God's love has been spread abroad in our heart by who? Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that continuously fills me up, continuously. Paul says, do not get drunk with wine as with wine in which is debauchery, but be full. And that is the Greek word is the continuous tense that says, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people think it's a once off, you know. Once you've stood in front and someone have prayed for you, and maybe you think that once you've received Jesus, you've received all of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And the more I'm filled with the Spirit, the less I'm filled with Jan. The more you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the less you are full of you. That's what John the Baptist prayed. He says, you must increase. I must decrease. Not so that I will become less of who God has made me, but that I will become exactly what God has made me. And I want to say to you, I don't know you, but I know one thing. You need more of God. All of us do. That is the hope of glory. That is the hope of glory, is that we will be full to all the fullness of Him who fills everything and everyone, everywhere, with all of Him. So I don't know what your definition of revival is. I don't know where you think renewal, refreshing, reformation, transformation, revival. For me, it's exponentially more of God than at present. Exponentially, not a little bit, a lot more of God, a lot more of the Holy Spirit. And people have asked me, Jan, but you know, you must be careful not to put too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit reveals Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak of Himself. The Holy Spirit will do one thing, and He will increasingly and increasingly reveal and shape and form the very Christ inside of you. So come, Holy Spirit. Who of you have tried it by Bible study? I'm not against Bible study. I study the Bible. I'm not against anything like that. I'm not against meetings. But I want to say to you that Christ inside of us, the hope of glory, will come with one thing, and that is a continual infilling with the Holy Spirit. And that we will allow the Spirit of God to not just stay inside of us, but to actually start moving through us. Now, people will tell you a lot of stuff about territorial spirit that keeps God from coming down greater. Is He that is in you than He who is in the world? Maybe you're the biggest territorial spirit of all. Keeping God from coming out. Because if we've been filled with the Spirit, He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit that brings freedom. He is the Spirit that brings boldness. Who of you are, when you hear the word going out or preaching or praying for the sick, you break out in a cold sweat? Some of you are not even going to put up your hands. I want to tell you that I've read a lot about revival, and I've studied revivals, and I've studied the Word of God, and I've looked at humanity. And more I realize is that one thing that we need is boldness. Not baldness. Boldness. To be fearless witnesses of Jesus Christ. Not haphazardly, by chance, a little testimony slips out, but we are actively, every moment of the day, so aware of the presence of God that we are looking for opportunities to flow. That we are looking for opportunities to pray for the sick. That we are looking for opportunities to bring people the good news. That we are continuously in our conversations, in our relationship, around our coffees, around our dinner tables, in our meetings, every single meeting, there is this thing. God, I want to express You. I want to be an expression of You. Won't You flow in me, and won't You flow through me? I want to take you quickly to Acts chapter 4, so you'll at least say, well, he at least opened the Bible once. You guys look very serious. Okay, this is a joyous day. Amen. Jesus is alive. Holy Spirit is in you. Father loves you more than you will ever know. This is a good day. Amen. Amen. Okay. Peter and John have just been taken, they were arrested, and they told them, you've got to stop talking about Jesus. When is the last time that that anybody has taken you aside and say, you've got to stop talking about Jesus? When is the last time? You know, when you've been dragged. I know we live in a world that's not persecuted in South Africa. But I want to ask you, when last was the time that you were so fearless and bold that you didn't care what people thought about you? The only thing that you cared about is that the person that you're talking to has an encounter with Jesus, has a touch from the King, has a touch from our loving Father. Now they come back and they start telling the story about how they were mistreated and how they were accused. And I'm going to read from verse 21, Acts 4:21. Then when the rulers had further threatened them, they let them go, not seeing how they could secure a conviction against them because of the people. For everyone was praising and glorifying God for what has occurred. A man was healed. For the man on whom this sign or miracle of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. I suppose that he has had this infirmity more than 40 years. Then verse 23. After that they were permitted to go and return to their own company and people and told all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together with one united mind to God and say, O sovereign Lord, you are he who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them, who by the mouth of your forefather David, your servant and child, said through the Holy Spirit, why did the heathen become wanton and insolent and rage, and the people imagine and study and plain vain things that will not succeed? I'm reading from the Amplified. I'm not adding my own words. The king of the earth took their stand in array, and the rulers were assembled and combined together against the Lord and against his anointed. For in the city they actually met and plotted together against your holy child and servant Jesus, whom you consecrated by anointing, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and peoples of Israel, to carry out all that your hand and your will and your purpose has predestined. And now, Lord, observe their threats, and please hide us away so that they will not find us. No. They were in the midst of persecution. They were not in the midst of comfort. They were being persecuted. There were actively steps taken against them, and not once did they pray for protection. They said, God, just take note of their threats against us. And this is what they asked. And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant your bond service full freedom or boldness to declare your message fearlessly, while you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. This is what they asked. Please hear me right. I love the Word of God. We were involved in a Bible school that taught the Word of God. We didn't have many subjects, but we taught the Word of God. So I'm not against the preaching of the Word of God. I'm not against testifying. But here was a very specific thing that they asked. They said, God, grant us boldness to fearlessly go. And as we go, that you will stretch out your hand to cure, to heal, and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy servant, of your holy child and servant Jesus. This was their request. Grant us boldness, God, so that as we go, that you will cure, that you will do signs and wonders. I want to say to you this morning that it's not just about eloquence of words. Paul explicitly said, he said, I do not only want to come to you in eloquence of words, but in a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. A demonstration of the power of God. And listen what happened. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They asked for full freedom. What did God give them? Holy Spirit. God gave them, these were already, they were people that walked with Peter and John. They were most probably some of the guys that were in the upper room. The Spirit has already been poured out upon them. But here, as they asked for boldness, what did God do? God came and He shook the room in which they were, and He filled them all with the Spirit. And what happened? And they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. Freedom and boldness and courage. I believe that it's not a paradox. Should we ask God for rain from heaven, or should we ask God for the streams of living water? I think it's both. That we would ask God for both. Say, God, this stream of living water, what is blocking this stream? What is the hindrance that this stream isn't flooding and overflowing? One thing about a fountain, some translation says it's not a stream, it's a fountain of living water. One thing about a fountain, as long as it's connected to source, it always overflows. A well is different. A well, you need to pull the water out. But a fountain, as long as it is connected to a source, a fountain flows. How does that pertain to us? The more I'm connected to the source, the more I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, the less fear I will have, the less insecurities I will have, the more love I will have. And therefore, evangelism is not the mission of my church, but it's a condition of my heart. Because I've been so impacted by the love of God that I cannot keep silent. I cannot be silent about this. I cannot, if I see a sick person, not say, "Can I pray for you?" Now, I believe that it's God that heals. It's as we go, God stretches out His hand. I believe that God stretches out His hand. God touches people. But we've got to go. Jesus said, "You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So what do we need to do? We need to lay hands on the sick. There's always, God in His infinite wisdom has always chosen to partner with us. I don't know why. I would have chosen the angels. Personally, if I was God, I would have chosen the angels. They were more obedient. Well, 2/3 of them. But God chooses in His wisdom. God chooses. You know, when we look at the disciples that He chose that later became the apostles, the first apostles. I mean, when you looked at those guys, they didn't make it in the eyes of the world. But when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, there was nothing that could stop them. Many signs, wonders, and miracles was done. Jan, are you talking about signs, wonders, and miracles? Yes. Yes. When Paul preached the gospel, he was like saying, if signs and wonders doesn't follow, did you really express the gospel? And it's not to elevate ourselves, it's not to make ourselves look great. It's an expression of the love of the Father. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When God loved, God gives. When we love, our love has got to look like something. Our love cannot just be talk. The Bible says, do not love one another in word only, but in faith and in love and in deeds. So our love, the expression of God's love, must look like something. What does your love look like? It's not just a philosophy. It's not just an imagination. It's not just a theology. The Bible says if we are only doers, hearers of the word, but we do not do it, we are actually busy with self-deception. It's not the devil. It's not the devil. If we hear the word, but we do not express the word, the Bible says you deceive yourself. Many times we blame the devil for everything. I mean, he's to blame for a lot. But sometimes we just deceive ourselves by not expressing the love of the Father, by not being the love of the Father to people. Again, but I'm an introvert. I'm shy. Because I'm still sterk. Afrikaner seun. You know, I only tell my wife, we watched this movie and the one, his wife said to him, is jy lief vir my? Hy sê, ek het ons gesê, ons getrou het. As enig iets verander het, sal ek jou laat weet. And I think sometimes our relationship with God is like that. It's like I received Jesus once and I received the touch of His love once and I received an impartation of His Spirit once. And now I'm trying to ride out my whole life on this one experience that I have. And God says every day, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It's interesting that he says, do not get drunk with wine, in which is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What is it about drunk people? Why did he use that? Why didn't he use another? Drunk people lose their inhibitions. Many of us, the reason why we struggle for this gospel to come out of us, for this Spirit, for this stream of living water. And the Bible is clear upon it. It says, streams of living water will flow from your innermost being. And he says, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. A church that will be on fire is a church that will be filled with the Spirit. Will be filled not only with the idea of the Holy Spirit. And when I'm saying Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about a goosebump. I'm not talking about an emotion. Those aren't manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Those are human reactions and responses when the Holy Spirit touches us. The manifestation of the Spirit is healing, deliverance, salvation, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, the church being built up, miracles, healings, faith, tongues. Speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Those are manifestations of the Spirit. And if we want more, we should ask for more. This morning as we were worshiping, I was crying for one thing. I said, God, more. I want more of you, God. I want a deeper revelation of who you are. I want a deeper revelation of your love, God. I want to know you. And I've been walking with the Lord and, you know, I've seen signs, wonders and miracles. We've prayed for people and people have been healed and we've prayed for people and they've been filled with the Spirit. And I'm just, God, there's more. There's more, God. I never want to settle, God. I never want to settle for comfortable Christianity. I never want to settle for Sunday meetings. I never want to settle for a midweek home cell, God. I want to be all in, God. I want to see you move in my streets, God. I want to see you move in Church Street, God. I want to see you move in Main Street. Main Street needs Jesus. Really? And you know what must happen? A ministry team. You know, it's not about, okay, now we've got to organize something and we're going on outreach. No, no. It's you on outreach every day. It's you so filled with the Spirit that wherever you go, for 2 minutes, for 5 minutes, just stopping. Just expressing the love. If we that are sitting here, we just make a commitment and say, I'm going to trust God that I'm going to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that I will be overflowing with the love of the Father, that I will be overflowing with the grace of Jesus Christ, that I will be overflowing with the compassion of the compassionate heart for Jesus, for the lost and the disenfranchised. And we can, if only we can do for a week every day, say, I'm going to stop at one person. I want to tell you that something's going to happen in this town and something's going to happen in this valley. And I want to tell you, I love Sunday celebrations. I love being together with you guys. But 90% of the people that we need to reach aren't going to come here. It's the guy that I picked up. I took my son to a cycling race outside of Wellington, and as we were coming back, there were two people hiking, and they smelled like Saturday evening. And the guy got into my car, and he's like, my back's hurting. And I thought, just like, hurry up, I'm going to be late for the meeting. I've got to pick up Mashampi, and I've got to pick up my daughters, and I've got to be there at 9 o'clock. And the Holy Spirit was like, really? Pray while you drive. But we've got so many blockages. We've got so many blockages. We've got so many things that stops us from just allowing the flow of God. And right there as I was driving, I just say, Father, won't you just pray? I pray that you'll just touch this man's back, God. I just pray, God, that you'll pour your love upon them. They didn't know what I was doing. Most probably, I asked them, where do you need to get off? Yeah, we need to get off now. And, you know, it's, you're going to touch people and they're not going to, maybe not respond. They may be not going to respond, and you're going to, and you might pray for people that are sick and they might not recover, because that happens too. But you know what we need is, we need to shift our paradigms of what is success in the kingdom. I believe it is simple obedience. Simple obedience. To not look for excuses for, because I realize that this vessel and, you know, my personality and what I feel like doing and what I don't feel like doing and what I vowed not to do and what I vowed to do and the disappointments that I have, all of those stuff wants to keep this Holy Spirit inside of me. What we really, really, if we've been touched by the love of God, is like we owe the world an encounter with Jesus. We owe one another a debt of love. You know, that's what the Bible says. We don't be no man's debtor, but this one thing it says, we owe one another a debt of love. Now, Jan, in his own personality, Jan, in his own way, cannot love everybody. And can certainly not be loved by everybody. But I want to tell you that if God places His love, in your heart, you can love anybody. You can love the unlovely. You just got to say, God, come and fill me up. And God, if you fill me up, I want to flow over, God. I don't want to keep this to myself, God. I don't want to keep this for a Sunday meeting. I want to keep this for Monday. I want to get it again on Tuesday. I want to flow it on Wednesday and Thursday. Really, I really need you on Thursdays, God. And then Friday, God. I really need you. And Saturday and Sunday, I need more of you, God. Let that become the mantra of your life. I want more of you. I've never met a person that was filled by the Holy Spirit, that was used by God, that hungered and thirsted for more and have been used greatly of God, that said, God, I think that's enough now. I think I've got it. So, people that have truly tasted God always want more. They always want more. They always want more. And I believe this is part of our responsibility. This is part of our stewardship of the gospel. You have been given a gift, a free gift of righteousness, right standing, access to the Father. The Father says, I'll never leave you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And you have access. He's actually coming to live inside of you. Now let Him shape you inside and let Him flow through you. Because somebody next to you, not just in church, but at work, in the coffee shop, in the 5 minutes, in the 2 minutes when you think you're too busy and it's not long enough, people just need a touch from God. And you are His answer. You are the spring that must spring up from the ground. He'll send the heavens rain. He'll send the heavens rain. He will send it. And then we will all rejoice on how exponentially easier it gets. Bye. boldness. We understand the love of the Father. We understand that this love is not only for me. This love is for others. This love is for others. Paul warns. He says in the last days, people will be lovers of self. And we use the love of God only to prop us up, to make us feel better. God, come and fulfill my dream. God, come and fulfill my destiny. Your plan for my life. What about God's plan? God's plan is that you, not some fancy preacher, not some guy with a super anointing, but every single one of us carries an anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask us this morning in closing. If I talk about Baal Perazim, it means the master, the possessor, the lord of the breakthrough, like bursting through of waters. He is in heaven, but he's also inside of you. The possessor of breakthrough, of the bursting forth like water, is inside of you. Every single one of you is inside. He wants to get out. But he will not violate our will. He will not violate you. He will not force you. He will not coerce you. But he will draw you. He will draw you. If you are willing to be drawn. If you are willing, some of you, if you are willing to let go of your disappointments that you've had in the past when you tried it and it didn't work. Let go of that little damn wall of safety that you've built around you. Maybe you've got a theological concept or point of view that this doesn't fit into. Are you willing to let that go? Maybe you've made a vow and said, I will never do that. How about you let go of that inner vow and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you? Maybe you've been hurt by people, by church groups, when you tried it. Won't you let that go this morning so that God can come and flow through you? In this room, if we catch this, and if we consistently and continually ask God, more of you, more of your love, God, more of your Holy Spirit, come and fill me, God, come and fill me, God, come and fill me, God. If we do that continuously, I want to say revival sits in this room. Revival sits in this room. God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. We make one step, he leaps over time and space. That's the heart of the Father. When the Father saw the prodigal son far off, what did he do? He ran. He ran. It's his pleasure, like Neil said this morning, it's his pleasure to give us the kingdom. We've made it. God's holding on to the kingdom and we must do our best to wrench it from his arms. It's his pleasure to give us the kingdom. To do what with? To give it away. To give it away. To show, to express. What is it inside of you today that hinders you from flowing and expressing the love of God? Not through your own strength of character, not through your own charisma, not through your own personality or your strength of will, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Jan, you make as if the Holy Spirit is the answer to everything. Yes. I want to tell you, the more I'm full of the Holy Spirit, the clearer I see Jesus. The more I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, the easier it is for this wicked heart to receive the love of God. when I don't deserve it. Often, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, it's all love. God is forcing nobody. God's not condemning anybody. Please, I don't want you to feel condemned this morning. I just believe that God is calling us higher. I just believe that God is calling us, His beloved sons and daughters. He's just calling us, come higher. There's life abundant that I want to release to you. Don't sit with your preconceived ideas and your prejudices and your theological frameworks and your inner vows and your hurts and your disappointments. Leave it. Let me wash it away. Let me heal you. And let me fill you so that you can express me. So that you can be my expression of love. Not so that you can do ministry, but that you can be a minister. Amen. I believe that's our breakthrough. That's part of our breakthrough. We've got a breakthrough from within. And unless you are possessed by a demon, you are in control of your own will. You might be oppressed in some area, but you still have your will. Unless a demon causes you to do something that you have no control over, like the crazy guy that was in between the graves, unless you're possessed, you have a will. So you can decide. Nobody can decide for you. But you have a will. That's why God can judge us. Because He gave us a will. Nobody's forced. Please, if you hear any condemnation of I'm not good enough, please, that's not my heart at all. My heart is more for you. Because more of the Holy Spirit in you is going to be more of Jesus in you. It's going to be more of Jesus in our streets. That's it. Amen. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. It's not hype. It's not psyching yourself up. It's simply opening yourself and say, God, come and fill me more with your Holy Spirit. I want to do something quickly. Wendy, you don't have something that we can... You know, sometimes we try to empty ourselves. I found it's better just to say, God, come and fill me. Because I don't always know what I need to empty myself of. Because I think that sometimes I think all of my feelings are God. I think my whole personality is God until I found that it's not. A lot of my personality was shaped by my experiences. And for me to try to become nothing, it means it will leave me increasingly empty. And God's not into emptiness. God's into fullness. So how do I, just for, you know, this is just water. So I don't try to empty myself. I don't try to empty myself and then say, okay, God, I'm empty enough now. Please come and fill me. I'm just saying, God, come and fill me. Fill me, God. More God. More God. More God. More God. More God. And you will pay for the vacuum cleaning with half of the offering that we're getting. I think we're getting the good deal here. But just me. You know, even if there were impurities in that glass now, more, just keep on pouring God in. Rids me of my impurities. It'll wash my impurities away. Otherwise, I'm forever, oh God, I'm not good enough. Oh God, I'm so dirty. Say, God, just come and fill me. Come and wash me. Just come and keep me filled up till I overflow. That I don't concentrate. This is not a church program. This is just me so full of the love of Jesus. We that call ourselves spirit-filled Christians, charismatics, Pentecostals, whatever you want to call, people that classify themselves by working at least of the Holy Spirit, of all people, should say more, God. Should say more. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I want to give to you. See if there's anybody of you. One of the ways that we receive more of the Holy Spirit is we simply ask, or we ask someone to lay hands upon us. So if there's any of you that want more of the Holy Spirit, just come. I would love to pray with you. I would love to see God just touch you and fill you up. Because we do owe the world an encounter. You don't have to book a booking. You can just come. Thank you, Jesus.